You're listening to Have Mike Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.
Hey, welcome to the show. Today's guest is Mike Ski. He's a graphic designer and tattoo artist. He invited me to his studio, and we discussed things like taking risks in business, creative identity, and the art of collaboration. Hope you enjoy. All right, we're started. So I love the space. This is in Fishtown. And we were walking up here. It was so funny. It's like a community. All these people we were bumping into. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I've lived in Fishtown for 7 years.
Oh, really?
And that was like moving here and starting to see how the community was like developing and changing.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the things that inspired me to do a business here.
Mm-hmm.
I actually looked at this building 4 years ago for
same
purpose and then decided to wait. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a different format for what we do, like a tattoo shop, like mm-hmm. inside of a building. And mm-hmm. it's like no storefront.
Right. No foot traffic.
Level. Yeah. No,
I mean,
not.
I feel like there's got to be a certain level of like courageousness in going to assume that you have enough of a client list, a client collection that you can, because that's a different business platform versus
yeah,
the
totally.
Walk-ins.
Yeah, no, for sure. We're basically like abandoning 95% of what most tattoo shops bank on.
Right, right.
And, but I think it's what's cool about it is that it is such a niche.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like basically really relying on your relationships with clients and
right.
friends and people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that I'm pretty good at that. And,
but
yeah,
shoulder.
It was definitely like a huge risk. And, you know, since we opened, it went from just me to three total tattooers.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is my good friend Pat, who I've known for like 12 years. And he lived in Philly and just moved back and went from a street shop to this
mm-hmm.
kind of format.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's an amazing artist, an amazing tattooer, and a really rad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But there, again, like I saw him taking taking like a huge risk to do it.
Okay.
But I just told him, I said, hey, if you can do an awesome tattoo and not be a fucking dick,
mm-hmm.
it'll turn into two tattoos.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
like that's basically it's.
Now, is that specific to Philadelphia to have that loyalty, or just in the tattoo world? And if you're a solid tattoo artist, you'll get it back.
I think it's universal.
Okay.
You know, I think it's like it's funny in a way, but like you know, the old image of a tattoo guy is like scary and like
mm-hmm.
they want to strike fear into
mm-hmm.
you and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And while I think there is an awesome place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, there's something about that mystique that I
yes.
think is amazing. It's
yeah,
just
for
like
sure.
not really me.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing I was actually going to bring up, and that's exactly what I wrote. Like, isn't it funny? And I was going to say about how the perception of that image that you were just describing. And yet, ironically, you have to be a people person because you're sitting. You're essentially collaborating with the customer, and if you're not a people person, how you know what I mean? That's what's so funny is that it goes against what that image of the like gnarly,
for sure.
angry, dismissive
no, for sure.
person.
I mean, it's funny because I think that a lot of artists and a lot of tattooers by nature they're kind of just like dark, miserable, self-loathing geniuses, you know?
Yeah, right?
But yeah, I mean, it's weird for me because I overhear a lot of people just like one thing they don't like about tattooing is dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it. It's
mm-hmm.
my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, you know, even if it's something small, like just hearing someone totally different than me's perspective on like what shows they watch or whatever. Like,
right.
That's like the most often question I ask is like, oh, what cool shows are you watching?
Right.
Just because it's like always different, and I don't know, I just really like hearing about what people do and for jobs and things like that. So yeah, I mean, I'm inspired by that. It's actually sometimes it almost borders on like the way that you would like confess things to your hairdresser.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, totally.
To be, like,
I see that.
Kind of weird, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So,
can I ask you a random question? Because I don't know anything about tattoos. Is there trends in tattoos?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, some of that we avoid by not being like a walk-in shop.
Oh, okay.
But those are kind of the trends that like nobody likes.
That become cliche.
Yeah, for sure. But we, you know, it goes in waves, and that's something that's like can be annoying or cool depending on what it is.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not to say it in a bragging way, but like the fact that like that this format sort of weeds out a lot of course. The things that you don't want to have to do.
I mean, yeah, like quality versus quantity.
Yeah, for sure. Like it's like meant to be based on like custom one of a kind.
So the like client's that. Bringing in that kind of original, hopefully original idea, and therefore.
Yeah, and we end up doing like, or I end up doing like regular stuff all the time too. Like
mm-hmm.
We made a video about the place, and it's weird to hear yourself talk and see yourself say things. But after the fact, one of the things that I liked about it was that I said that this is the kind of place where you can get your first tattoo and or like an ongoing collection of tattoos mm-hmm. that you've been doing for 20 years mm-hmm. and be treated as an equal.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like, you know, a tattoo shop can have the same image as like, you know, like a hip store in Brooklyn where you go in there and they just treat you like shit and mm-hmm. act like they're... You're okay. Cool.
Yeah, no, for sure. I've been in those shops.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. And I think that, you know, that was an inspiration for doing this, was just to, like, treat people well. You
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's awesome. Well, before you were saying, before we started recording, and also it's the same thing that I saw from your website about this, there's another dimension to, like, what you do about mm-hmm. designing and stuff and branding. I was going to ask you how long you've identified as a designer, but you had kind of said... For a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't identified with it this far back because I didn't really realize that it was a job.
Okay.
But when I was like in high school, I was designing like cassette covers for bands and drawing t-shirts for bands. Yeah. I got a big part of my beginnings as a designer and as a tattooer was through music. Like I played in bands mm-hmm. And toured around and that met a lot of people, a lot of cool people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And friends that I still have like to this day, so that's awesome. But I started tattooing pretty much the same time I started going, the summer after high school before I went to art school.
Yeah.
And I went to art school for illustration.
Okay.
But then changed to graphic design.
Okay.
And I realized that it was a thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Because this is in like the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm older than I look.
But I mean, I wish there were some things in some insider perspective I could have gotten. I think if I had to do it over again, art school wise, I would have done graphic design.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, there's something about it, like that's just, I feel like it, I hate, to, not like I'm shitting on any other disciplines, but it sits perfect, nicely wedged between like fine art. There's some aspects of the illustration of fine art and the placement and composition, and then there's that commerce level where you can actually get work. And
yeah, for sure. I mean, when I was in school, I saw a noticeable difference between the people that were like interested in it for whatever reasons and the people that just wanted to go to art school and their parents were like, well, you're not going to fucking blow all my money.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
want
yeah.
you to get a job. So it was kind of like the major for people who were like, oh, well, I'm not going to toil away in some like weird paint studio.
Yeah. Well, see, I was intimidated because I felt like some kids had shown up to school already knowing how to do that thing. And so that for me, I had studied photography. I'd already done it in high school. So I was like, yeah, that's my thing.
Uh-huh.
But looking back, may have reconsidered that. Like, I would have gone into graphic design, you know, but I was intimidated. Did you find anything intimidating about switching?
Not really. I mean, I was like, I wanted to know how to like make all the stuff to do what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And again, it was like mostly for like album covers mm-hmm. and stuff.
But you had a vision, there was a purpose, and you thought this is an instrument.
Like and to a nod to what you were saying, like I took photography classes because I was like, oh, well, I don't want to have to draw everything.
Yeah.
I want to be like able to do
I was totally things. That jerk. What do I need this for?
Yeah,
for I'm a photographer.
But also like... I noticed that a lot of graphic designers at that time like didn't draw either.
Yeah,
so I felt like that was.
I'm afraid to even get into the age of how we went to school before digital and how I'm like can't compete with the youngsters.
Yeah,
you know, like Photoshop was like, not sure if that's a thing
yet. version 2.
Like, nobody in the photo world was even ready to call it, like, if digital cameras were going to catch on. Like, yeah. That's how long ago. And there's something to be said for, like, that switch.
Yeah, they didn't even have them when I was in school.
Right, so were you self-taught when it came to the digital aspect?
I'm still, like, a totally ill-informed, like, poor photographer. Like, I can just basically just get done what I need to do.
But, I mean, even with, like, the graphic design aspect, you know, like, Illustrator and all, you know, InDesign
and
all that.
Yeah, I mean, I learned all that stuff, like, after the fact.
Yeah.
They didn't even teach it. What I was in school.
Well, they say, like, what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention. If it's going to get you a job.
That's funny because that's basically, like, how I've survived my whole life.
Yeah, I don't know if I should admit that's how this podcast is even going on. I was like, I'm doing a podcast before I even knew how to do it, and now it's like, I better figure out how to do it.
No, I think it's awesome. I signed up to do, like, my first, like, big record design project when I was in school, and I did it in real life, but also as, like, a class project.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the day that I went to turn it in, they were like, well, we don't even use that program here. Like, we use this other one. And I had to, like, teach myself the program, like, overnight, like, in order to deliver the project. It's like, that's crazy. It's stressful, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But I feel like, I mean, you're either, like, motivated to care or not.
For sure. I think it's, like, an A personality type thing, just to get out there and do it.
Yeah.
But, so you are, some people would say, like, multidisciplinary. Like, I don't know if you ever have this whole, like, jack of trades, master of none thing, and if that's, like, Well, some people can get, like, put off by it because they feel like, that expression suggests that you haven't mastered anything. You know what I mean? It can be a little bit of a sour note.
Yeah,
but
I feel that way, though. I mean, it's, like, a struggle. Like, tattooing especially is, like, such a craft.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's so many strong opinions that go on.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, that's something that's, like, very intimidating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, still, I feel that way. I've been tattooing for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have discussions in here daily that are, like, pointed, you know, not at each other, but, like, about things. But yeah, I mean, so how that boils down for me is, like, there's two parts. It's like, I wish that there was more time in the day that I could just, like, wake up and draw or paint or just focus on tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the fact that I have a real sincere interest and love of design as well, like, that keeps me from, like, burning out on one thing.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a back and forth. Like, people always ask me, like, what do you like better? And I'm like, I don't really like one better. It's just sometimes I go in phases where I'm, like, more inspired by one or the other, or more focused on one or the other. But, and it's taken me this long, like you were saying, like, talking about earlier, you mentioned, like, talking about where things are at now. It's just, like, just finally trying to figure out how to, like, combine them, you know?
Because that's the ultimate goal. I mean, what did I say? It's like, not necessarily monetizing. It doesn't have to be strictly in, like, a business format, but it's the working smarter, not harder. If everything that your effort every day, if it's still in the same pot that is your, whether your brand or your whatever, you are kind of being efficient.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally true, and I guess also, like, I was thinking just, like, as an aesthetic, you know, because they're two kind of totally different aesthetics. Like, you know, one's very, like, handmade and, like, and unique. Like, every tattoo is, like, one of a kind, like, handmade. It's got imperfections, hopefully as few as possible.
It's got
things that make it, totally personality. Whereas design is, like, really, like, hard-edged. It's very, like, it has, like, a reproducibility aspect to it. And that's kind of, like, that's, like, my, like, motto.
I saw that on your site.
Between that. You know, and, like, I think both of those, the individuality of a tattoo versus the reproducibility of like the printing press.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm, like, fascinated by those two things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
just take turns with them?
Yeah, just take turns. But, like, but it would be cool not to meld like the different processes.
I see. So you make a conscious choice to keep them separated because that feels right to you.
Yeah, and I've done that, but there it's weird because lately there's like a big trend in graphic design that's like very like tattoo doodly illustrations.
Yeah, like with banners and stuff.
Yeah, and that like that bums me out almost because I'm like, oh, did I like purposefully like hold back on that and miss out on that? But I mean, I've managed to success, I think, in my own mind, like figure out a way to make them meet at times when it makes sense. But like, yeah, I mean, I guess it's a struggle to figure out how to bring elements of one aesthetic into the other to make them like not feel like two different people did it.
Right. And I'm sure it's one of those things where inside your mind, you might be consciously doing it. And this is no kind of taking away from what you've just extensively described. But what's funny is you might not realize that when people, it might actually see the similarities, you know, because it's almost like that when you overhear someone describing you to someone else and you're like, huh, I wouldn't have put it that way. You know, and there's things that people see and there might be like a connection to your work that people can see. I do see it a little bit. Like not, it's not overtly, like it's not incredibly obvious.
No.
But there is a bit of like a, there's a hum, there's a vibe, you know, there's a thing.
Yeah, it's weird because I've had other graphic designers notice it, whereas I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's like that thing, it's like I've always just done what I liked and struggled to learn more and move forward constantly. But always feel like I'm just doing like one thing at a time. But then when you look back at it, you can see that.
Yeah,
even if you're not trying.
And that's cool. That's really big because that says that there's consistency in the talent. There's also a style. Do you know what I mean? Like
that's
everyone's
that's
looking for a signature style. That's the big, like when an artist hits that, it's like the rest is just don't fuck it up and do anything stupid. Do you know what I mean? That's it. I mean, I'm saying if people respond positively.
No,
of course.
You're right. I mean,
but
again,
that's the thing.
Again, to talk about like trends in tattooing, I mean, like you can easily hop on one as it's happening.
Oh, for sure.
Or like shortly foresee it, but like
I know exactly what you mean.
Get like niched and pigeonholed as that. And, eventually written off. I mean, that's like something that annoys a lot of people.
I remember,
but like it's terrifying because like then you're like, oh well, is this thing that I've been doing like when is it going to become like antiquated at some point?
Yeah.
Like, by just the nature of the beast?
I guess it's like more subtle what I'm suggesting style, because I feel like what you were describing, which I sometimes call like art sauce, you can pour art sauce on shit and then it can look awesome.
Amazing.
People are like, oh, that's really cool. And it's like, if you peel back the art sauce, there's just like a really, you know, something. So like I've seen it in photography where people like use like, they'll use like a Polaroid and it'll look really great because like the wishy-washy nature of the film being developed, but then you give them a different type of camera and they can't recreate the same type of thing.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's what you're trying to say. But I always imagine like finding your style is a bitch, absolute bitch. And it's like, it's one of those things that the more you try, the harder it is to actually do. I don't know if you've ever seen, it's like an 80s movie, what is it, Ghost? Where Patrick Swayze's trying to like flick the penny. Like the more you think about it, it's like it's letting go, ironically, actually when you are your, I don't know, that's
Well,
my
that's
philosophy.
Like when you're like, the analogy I have is like when you're trying to find like the perfect like girlfriend or whatever. Like when people are like, oh, I'm single, do you know anybody I can meet?
Oh, start profiling details. Like, yeah, I'm looking for someone who's so-and-so.
Yeah, the harder you look, but the less it happens. But as soon as you stop caring. That's actually a good, like, as soon as you stop, like, giving a shit what other people think.
Yeah,
and I think that's important.
This is, might be severely controversial, but I'm willing to say it, is I have a theory that, this is just my own personal taste, the artists that I actually adore the most are actually the most mentally ill. And when I say
I
mean
think so.
In a way where there is an actual boundary and a wall where they actually can't perceive mass opinion and all that subjective shit, like you were saying, pointed opinions and all. Like it's actually not getting in to their mind to dilute or change the output. And it's always what they need to do, only because, I know it sounds really crazy and rude to say, like to just talk about like sounding like mental illness is a positive thing, but you know what I mean? Like I am saying like there's some hip hop artists and like MF Doom's one of my favorites and like, you know, and other people who are just like haunted. Like I secretly think that that's amazing, not to make that light of that in any way.
Yeah,
but
no,
it's the point about when you can shut out all that shit. You'd be surprised. Like, if there's anything worth being said, you know, don't get me wrong, there's people looking for an inner talent and it's just not there.
Yeah.
But for the talented people, that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
it's like even like when you learn about all those like old master painters, like they were all fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. Or some of them, and if they weren't, some of them would take drugs to induce that state because that was almost like a safe place to be because... You don't, like, I mean, high on mushrooms, the last thing you're worrying about is what shoes you have on, mm-hmm. how you look to your friends, if that thing that you just did was cool or not. You're just, like, so in tune. I know it's crazy to parallel it, but I'm reading a lot about, like being present and, like, awakening and stuff like that. And they talk about present, being present, which is, oh God, like, so hard. But amazing.
Totally. No, that's my big problem.
And so, well, okay, so the goal is... being present, that's the goal. And I almost know hardly anyone who's genuinely present all the time. So you're either obsessed with the future or obsessed with the past. Which one are you?
The future.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I feel like the past is very important to me as far as like roots and learning from experiences.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, like growing up in the punk and like hardcore scene of like music that and the bands, like there was like a very strong respect for that kind of thing.
Oh, right. Heritage.
And I hold on to that dearly, but there's also this sort of like youthful like exuberance associated with nostalgia that goes along with it that I think is like super boring and trite. So like, yeah, I'm constantly obsessing about like what to do next and like looking ahead. Yeah, it's like total fucking curse for sure.
It can be. I don't know if it's just me being biased, but I think it's better to look for the future. I see people struggle when they step up over the past. I read this, it's really cliche, I don't care, but I read this like super cute like quote. It was like, only a fool trips over what's behind him. You know what I mean?
No, I think that's amazing. Yeah, I think that you can like go, you can get stuck in a cycle of that, like kind of always trying to recreate a sense or a feeling that is associated with a time where...
Well, the past is dead. That's what's so crazy. That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. I mean, these authors like, you know, Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra, and the past is dead, and it's like there's not, like, the only thing that is ever real, that will ever be real, that ever can be real, is the present. And it's just like mind-blowing to me. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. It's really interesting. But... what was I going to say? I wanted to talk about collaboration because there is an aspect like, okay, so when you're tattooing, you're essentially collaborating with the customer because it has to be a willingness.
Totally.
And when you're doing branding or graphic design, there's essentially a client that you're doing it for. And then being in a band, you've got bandmates. I mean, you must know a thing or two about collaboration. Like, what does that mean to you? How does that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like a balance of being able to take parameters of a project or another personality and balance it with the fact that sometimes you just know better. You know, like with tattooing, a lot of times it's finding the right way to assert your idea or to tell someone that what they want isn't going to look good. You know what I mean?
No, for sure.
Like, it's more...
Does that get easier over the years to have that confidence?
Yeah,
it can be awkward.
I've struggled with it because it's not in my nature to be like...
You're wrong.
Yeah. But I've gotten better at saying, like, you know, my studio mate Dave Fox, who's an incredible tattooer and, like, huge inspiration, like, he can just... he has an easier time just saying stuff like that. And one time, like, I had a really long consultation and I was like, you know, trying to tell this guy, like, well, dude, it's just like not really gonna work out. And I was like, he left and I was like, dude, what would you have said? And he was like, I just say that that's not what I do. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And that sounded so simple that I was like totally inspired by it.
But
it's like, I'll say, well, you're coming to me because you either like what I do or you value my experience.
Right.
And in the end, I'll do what you want.
Right.
As long as that it's not going to look like shit.
Right.
And what you want right now is
I feel like an expression that works with people is if you said, in good conscience, I couldn't do this. Yeah. Because then I know it's not personal. It's just like, it just is what it is.
Yeah, well, things sometimes just don't translate as a
tattoo. For sure. I wouldn't know the first thing. I think, yeah, and you're right. They are coming to you for expertise. I think what you're describing is boundaries almost.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to describe it.
In like collaborative relationships. So how did it work like to be in a band? Like where was your place? Were you vocal? Like were you a leader?
Yeah,
were you a pack follower?
I kind of like, I was like the guy who did all the business stuff and sort of like, just because I have an interest in like design, art and stuff, like a lot of the like kind of themes and ideas started with that stuff. But I don't know, I was pretty good at like respecting the fact that like, you know, I don't play drums or guitar.
So when you're like, speaking about those,
like I have my knowledge based on just having done it for a long time, but I was like never a musician, you know? I don't know like scales or notes or
right,
like, and it's very much like a punk rock like self-taught musician who is like 75% charisma, 25% curse words. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have an awesome other designer that works here, Jesse, and he's younger than me, and he's like very energetic, and sometimes that can be like almost annoying, you know? Because you want to just be like grumpy and like preserve your way of doing things. But it's like, I think there's a value in accepting new ways of doing things and finding inspiration wherever you can. Like one of the things we do as a design company is collaborate with other brands. And that's like when I was thinking that was something fun and interesting to do, only because I was looking at it like almost like from a selfish point of view, where I was like, oh well, maybe going to someone else's studio and like collaborating on a project can inspire me or can help me learn how something else is done or get me to think in a different way or whatever. But I didn't realize that that's also like a way that like now it's like a corporate tool to like, like, you know, get content or whatever. So that's like, it depends on your reasons for wanting to do it. You know? I mean, we've been talking for months about like doing like a monthly studio visit or just even like once a week, like just like getting the fuck out of here and like walking around the neighborhood.
Yes.
You know, that stuff is like super important.
And that's a great segue, because I love to talk to people about how they work, and then I love to talk to people how they don't work, you know, and how you deal with or decompress, and anything from like diet, exercise, meditation, just anything that's not work. Like, what is your favorite not work thing to do? Because we were joking around before, you were saying, you know, that entrepreneurial thing about how it's 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
and I know
sure.
that having done it, you know, a few times myself, trying to do a venture by myself, that's the truth of it. So like, there's a guilt. How do you get away from that guilt?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so timely that you say that, because like, it was only like 4 months ago or so. I mean, this place has been open for barely over a year, you know? So like, 4 months ago, I just like, fully like my body just like shut down and gave up. I got sick for like 12 days and I just like sat around and thought about how I was fucking up.
Yeah.
And like
awesome.
Yeah. it was
sounds
tormenting.
Like a
yeah. You know, it's like, so what I came out of that with was, well, it's like if you don't give yourself time to recuperate daily or weekly, and then you're not showing up with as much to give, you know?
Exactly.
So you're basically depleting how well you're able to do what you're doing, you know? I read a couple things about that. One was saying that if you give water from the well without filling it back up, eventually you're going to pull the bucket up and it'll be filled with mud.
Yeah.
So like,
agreed.
And that's kind of how I felt. I felt like two things. I felt like just completely tired all the time,
mm-hmm.
and shot, and like that I was like,
mm-hmm.
giving all my time to people and not being like as productive or effective,
right.
with that time. But also I felt like simple things like, well, I have an awesome girlfriend who's at home and she's like totally bummed mm-hmm. because I'm never around. Mm-hmm. I have two dogs that are just so cute. I just want to like sit on a couch with them. And I just want to, you know, I want to watch shows and do normal stuff,
yeah,
and hang,
yeah.
out with friends. You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Like I felt like I was being a bad friend.
Yes.
And that's a drag. But it's, so it's like finding a balance between, you know,
I feel like there's so many signals in our society saying not to do that, which I find so frustrating because that's not the way to be. It is, like you said, to go in and nourish and take care of and pull back and chill. That actually will create better results or just a better you, ultimately. You
totally.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's like, it's also, well, yeah, on one hand you have starting your own business. That's going to fucking be a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do it if
not
you,
for the week of
if
heart.
You think it's going to be fun.
Right.
Saying all the time.
Right.
It's stressful and it's exhausting,
yeah.
but that's also awesome, you know, because you're willing to do that because it's for you,
mm-hmm.
and the people there close to you, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's not, you're not waking up and driving to some place for some person who doesn't need shit,
right.
you know, I mean,
right.
that's like the cliche shit that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all understand that. Mm-hmm, so like,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean.
So, but you described not working. The only thing you described was being sick. What do you do on it, like in a lifestyle format that you do consciously to not work? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I definitely like work out.
Mm-hmm.
Not as like one of those like weird people who's
no, and that's
intense.
A shame that that's sort of taken over like the only way to say, like when you say workout, people have to assume that that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
I do
so
like,
important worth do it to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's really important. I mean, when I was playing in a band, people would always be like, oh, you're such a like so it's like two totally different people. You're always so mellow in person. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's because I, like, do that other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I stopped doing that, you know, I haven't played music in, like, 4.5 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I noticed that a few months had gone by and I was, like, super irritable all the time. And it was because I was taking that sort of, like, physical, like, daily thing where you just exhaust the
mm-hmm.
shit out of yourself
mm-hmm.
and, like, sort of just, like, get everything
mm-hmm.
out. Like, without that, I was starting to be, like, very agitated.
Right, right. No,
so,
for sure. It will build up energy-wise. I do agree.
Yeah, for sure. And I, so I guess, like, there's some sort of, like, deep-seated anger going on or whatever. No. But, yeah, like, I started going to a gym and, like, eventually started working out, like, regularly and, like, training for a run and stuff like that. And it just, like, it was really revolutionary for me.
Cool.
And it also, it ended up having to do a lot with what you were talking about before is like nutrition and the way you eat and
mm-hmm.
stuff, because they're like, you can't really do one without the other. They're like so tightly knit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
I love when people acknowledge what it takes to put into the machine to get something out, you know, like that's kind of where I was going with the whole, like,
yeah, no, for sure. And I was like,
from stress.
And it's definitely gives me more energy too.
Mm-hmm.
Like working out and just, I mean, on one hand you feel like exhausted, but it's like a good kind of
yeah,
thing.
For sure.
Do
you have any like diet choices that you make?
Yeah, I mean, I've been vegetarian for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that doesn't really apply aside from the fact that it's just,
I mean, do you
true.
Do it for political reasons or do you do it for, like, how you feel?
A little bit of both. I mean,
yeah.
Now it's to a point where I don't even think about it on the regular,
right.
but just a lot of, like, I know it sounds like super, like, I don't know, super bouge to talk about it. But just like, I don't know, like a lot of, I stop, try not to drink soda.
Yeah.
And just try not to eat a lot of like processed bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Eat a lot of vegetables and like leafy greens.
You'd be surprised. Like, and that's why I like talking to people, because you never know what people are really doing in their personal lives or behind, you know, closed doors or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean that in the way of like, that's one of the reasons I wanted to start the show, was you can see people, whether they're online presence or maybe their work, you know, and that's a way of seeing who they are and what they do. But there's this whole other, like, there's a full evolved human connected to that work that isn't like the other person who does some, you know, who, another tattoo artist per se, or another musician, or another whatever. And I think it's important to open up that door and just expose and tell people, like, well, this is what I do. Because I think that honest kind of vulnerable conversation is really, like, what matters. I think that's when anxiety and fear and competition, negative competition, mm-hmm. can start building once, and when people aren't just sort of being real and being open. And that's why I wanted to sit down and talk with you. I really appreciate your time. This was a good interview. Thank you.
Yeah, we're done already.
Yeah,
that was so fast.
Exactly, right? Painless, hopefully.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
Good.
Are you okay?
Yes. Thanks again for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to show your support through comments and reviews.